The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Welcome to Truth Transforms. Join in for spiritually enlightening discussion and the practical application of new thought principles. Here's your host, Reverend Galen McDowell.
Welcome to Truth Transforms with Reverend Galen McDowell. I am your host, Reverend Galen McDowell, and I am the executive minister, senior assistant minister, and the director of the Johnny Coleman Institute at Christ Universal Temple. I'm in the midst of teaching a new series titled Your Faith is Your Fortune, or however I'm naming this, Exploring Your Faith is Your Fortune by Neville Goddard, written under his pen name, Neville. And this is a book that I bought, you know, many years ago, as I stated during the last episode last week. So let me drill down on it, because this is where what we're talking about. I don't want to waste time. I'm going right to chapter 2, You Shall Decree. It starts off with the scripture from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And I love this scripture because it's normally taught as a spoken word scripture, and he's going to shift it into a scripture about the projection of consciousness. So listen to how he tackles this. And again, he's making some very absolute statements, and you can take it or leave it however you choose, but he's going to teach it as he understands it, and I'm going to teach it as I understand it. He starts off by stating, man can decree a thing and it will come to pass. Man has always decreed that which has appeared in his world. He is today decreeing that which is appearing in his world and shall continue to do so as long as man is conscious of being man. So what he's basically saying is, at this point, starting right off the bat, that we are forming, we are creating, we are dictating what actually shows up, I would say, through universal law, through the projection of consciousness, through cause and effect, through our mental equivalents, through our belief systems, what we're saying, what we're doing. We're creating experiences individually and collectively. And again, some of these things are very subconscious. It might be some things that your soul is working through. Some of these things might be situations or circumstances where you holding on to beliefs that are part of the race consciousness or the collective consciousness of humanity that might be expressing through you as well. However it goes, he's starting off from a very strong premise that we are always decreeing our own lives. Then he wrote, nothing has ever appeared in man's world but what man decreed that it should. This you may deny, but try as you will, you cannot disprove it, or this decreeing is based upon a changeless principle. So he's saying the stuff that shows up, the prosperity or the poverty, the health or the sickness, the peace or the war, is what we've decreed it should be. Until there's a different thinking process, until there's a shift in consciousness, until there's a paradigm change, what shows up is what's showing up based upon the dominant states of consciousness that people individually and collectively hold. Then he wrote, and this is where he shifts it from the way some people teach it. He wrote, man does not command things to appear by his words, which are more often than not a confession of his doubts and fears. Decreeing is ever done in consciousness. Now, I agree that decreeing is ever done in consciousness. And just like he says, confession of doubts and fears, I believe you can also have the confession of love, peace, joy, prosperity, well-being, success, etc. So I believe that you can decree with your consciousness, and your spoken word can also be a part of that decreeing process. And sometimes it gives it more power and potency once you can get your words behind what you believe. Because as you stated, even as you affirm, as you use the power of the spoken word, you are transforming those thoughts and beliefs from one level of consciousness into expression. So he wrote, every man automatically expresses that which he is conscious of being. Oh, I love that. Who you think you are, that's how you consistently show up. Who you think you are, consciously and subconsciously. When he says conscious of being, that means who you think you are as a personality, conscious and unconscious. So even though it's conscious of being, to a certain extent, it's basically saying your level of awareness. We automatically express our level of awareness. And this is key. You are a mental field that is always radiating and attracting. You are a mental field that is always radiating and attracting. What do I mean by that? That what you think, feel, and believe consciously and subconsciously will be the energy signature of the thoughts that you have that go out to bring back to you experiences that correspond with your dominant states of consciousness. All right. So he wrote, without effort or the use of words, at every moment of time, man is commanding himself to be and to possess that which he is conscious of being and possessing. So even when we're sleeping, we're radiating. He's using the term commanding. Some people use the word creating. Some people will use the word attracting. Some people would use the word producing. Some people will use the word vibrating or aligning. It's so many different terms. The issue is consciousness produces form and consciousness does not turn off. Consciousness does not turn off. You are a mental field that is always radiating and attracting. He goes on to write, this changeless principle of expression is dramatized in all the Bibles of the world. The writers of our sacred books were illumined mystics, past masters in the art of psychology. In telling the story of the soul, they personified this impersonal principle in the form of a historical document, both to preserve it and to hide it from the eyes of the uninitiated. I don't know if that's literally true, but from a metaphysical and mystical point of view, you can have these clear spiritual principles, these pure, unadulterated concepts wrapped around and in and through the narratives of biblical characters. One of the things about metaphysical Bible interpretation is that we take these characters and we look for what they symbolize, the ideas, the universal laws, these spiritual principles, these mental concepts that they symbolize, that they represent. So we can get an interpretation that can help us discover the presence and power of God within ourselves and how to work on our own consciousness so we can transform our life, world, and affairs. So he goes on to write, today those to whom this great treasure has been entrusted, namely the priesthoods of the world, have forgotten that the Bibles are, he's talking about religious texts in general, are psychological dramas representing the consciousness of man. Ah, let's stop that. So the Bible, from a metaphysical standpoint, from a New Thought perspective, is symbolic of the soul's journey into Christ consciousness. Charles Fillmore would say it's the generation, degeneration, and regeneration of humankind. Generation, creation, degeneration, the fall in consciousness, not from the literal standpoint, but using the Adam and Eve story symbolically. And then the regeneration, the process through the Bible up to Jesus, to where we discover who and what we are, this regeneration into the Christ consciousness, into this Christ mind, into this illumined consciousness, into this awakened awareness of who you are in God and who God is in you. This is a part of the process. Back to the book. He wrote, when man sees the Bible as a great psychological drama with all of its characters and actors as the personified qualities and attributes of his own consciousness, then and only then will the Bible reveal to him the light of its symbology. You have to start saying, okay, what is this representing me? Jesus is talking to Peter. What does that mean in me? Moses is talking to Aaron. Moses is talking to Pharaoh. What does that symbolize in me? Abraham is separating from Lot in the book of Genesis. What does that represent in me? The Apostle Paul is traveling all around Asia Minor to these different places and starting or supporting these local churches. What does that symbolize in me? So Neville wrote it this way. This impersonal principle of life, which made all things, is personified as God. This Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, is discovered to be man's awareness of being. Because you are a law unto yourself. If the presence and power of God is within you as the Christ, as the I am, as spiritual man or spiritual being, then you are universal law unto yourself. What does that mean? As Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman used to say, I am the thinker who thinks the thought that makes the thing. All right. So he goes on to write, if man was less bound, he uses man to mean humankind. These books were written when that was the general way human beings were written. Man did not mean male. It just meant human being. If man were less bound by orthodoxy and more intuitively observant, he could not fail to notice in the readings of the Bible that the awareness of being is revealed 100 times throughout this literature. To name a few, I am hath sent me unto you. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord, and there is no God. He cut that off besides me would be the rest of that. I am the shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the beginning and the end. I am, I am, I am. What does this mean? It gives us in the next paragraph. I am, man's unconditioned awareness of being, is revealed as Lord and creator of every conditioned state of being. So the consciousness, the unconditioned consciousness, is the Lord and creator of conditioned consciousness. We call that life, world, and affairs, the experiences of life. Your consciousness is Lord and creator of the conditioned consciousness. What does that mean? Your life, world, and affairs. Consciousness, the awareness of being, this unconditioned awareness of being, is the creator of what we call our three-dimensional life. Hopefully that makes sense. Because the God that you are seeking is found in you. That's one of the premises of New Thought. That, yes, God is omnipresence. All the presence there is, and omnipresent. Everywhere equally present. But your point of contact with the omnipresent God is through the individualized expression of God that shows up as your true authentic self, the I am, the Christ, whatever term you want to use. But there's an aspect in you, of you rather, that is just like God. It would be no different than going to the ocean and capturing a wave in a jar. The water in that jar and that from the wave is the same as any depth of the ocean. And you are an individualized expression of the one presence, one power, one life, one substance that we call God. So he wrote it this way. If man would give up his belief in a God apart from himself, recognize his awareness of being to be God, this awareness fashions itself in the likeness and image of his conception of itself. He would transform his world from a barren waste to a fertile field of his own liking. So what he's basically saying yet again is the unformed has to become the form. The potential has to become a thing. The possibility has to become a thing. And how is that done? This awareness fashions itself in the likeness and image of its conception of itself. So in other words, what you think it to be That's what it shows up as. He goes on to write, the day man does this, he will know that he and his father are one, but his father is greater than he. He will know that his consciousness of being is one with that which he is conscious of being, but that his unconditioned consciousness of being is greater than his conditioned state or his conception of himself. Oh, that's a lot. So let me take this quick break, and I'm going to come back and explain what that means. So just a reminder, as I take this break, that this podcast has a Facebook page, Truth Transforms with Reverend Galen McDowell. It's the easiest way to get in contact with me. So utilize it. I'm also on Instagram. It's, my page is the one that actually, I have two pages. One I got to get rid of, but somebody I was working with started it, and I got to get them to take it down. But mine is the one that actually has pages. You open up, it's a picture of me. It's pictures and quotes and all type of stuff. So you know the one is active because it has stuff, and it's an open page. So we'll be right back with Truth Transformed. All right, welcome back to Truth Transforms. I'm breaking down this chapter, You Shall Decree, by Neville Goddard in the book, Your Faith is Your Fortune. When he says he will know that his consciousness of being is one with that which he is conscious of being, but that his unconditioned consciousness of being is greater than the conditioned state or his conception of himself. What this is saying is this, that the mind is always greater than his creation. Because it can create it and it can uncreate it. And when a thing shows up in form, it shows up as the limitation of the form. All right. In other words, if it's a table, it's not a car. If it's a car, it's not a house. All right. If it's cash, it's not bricks. So once we demonstrate a thing, the demonstration shows up as the conditioned state, whatever that conditioned state is. But the spiritual potential and the consciousness that created it is always greater than that which it created. Hopefully that makes sense. Something for you to pray on. Moving on. He wrote, when man discovers his consciousness to be the impersonal power of expression, which power eternally personifies itself in his conceptions of himself, he will assume and appropriate that state of consciousness which he desires to express. In so doing, he will become that state and expression. So basically, yet again, life is consciousness. And what that means simply is that consciousness expresses itself as form. As our life, world, and affairs. But we have to recognize that the power to express is not in the form. The power to express is in the mind. It's in the awareness. It's in the consciousness. But whatever you personify yourself to be, whatever labels you put on yourself, you empower. You empower the label. So when you think you can, great. When you think you can't, great. The law, universal law, will give you the experience of your own belief based upon what you accept. You know, this is why Reverend Ike used to say, you can go to the ocean with a cup. You can go to the ocean, with a thimble. You can go to the ocean with a cup. You can go to the ocean with a bucket, or you can go to the ocean with a pipeline. The ocean will meet the demand of the container, and it will condition itself You know, the water will take the form of the thimble, the cup, the bucket, or the pipeline. And God's infinite good will take on the form based upon the form and shape that you give it in your mind and the capacity for you to accept. So moving on. He goes on to write, "Ye shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass, can now be told in this manner. You shall become conscious of being or possessing a thing, and you shall express or possess that which you are conscious of being." This is why we tell people you got to get the consciousness. You have to get the consciousness. You know, I never forget, you know, he's told this story publicly, so I don't have a problem sharing it. When, you know, the greatest public speaker of all time, Les Brown, the motivator, was a member of Christ Universal Temple and the Universal Foundation for Better Living. He was actually a student in the Johnny Coleman Institute, you know, taking the classes that I'm responsible for people getting today, and eventually was licensed and ordained by Reverend Coleman. And he started a study group, not in Chicago, but in another state. And he only had 8 people. And when the leaders would get around, leaders of the churches and study groups got together to discuss, you know, the going ons of the ministry, he asked Reverend Coleman in a public, not a public setting, but in a setting with other leaders, "Johnny, how come I only have 8 people in my study group?" And Johnny told him, "Because you have an 8 people consciousness." And he told, you know, I remember he told me this story several times. He said he could have crawled under the table. He felt so low, but he was determined at that point to increase his consciousness. Now, you know, he eventually created a study group that was having probably 1,000 people showing up for class. It blew up so fast. He gave the people away and they started a church with the people that he was working with. But here's the thing. He went from a person who Johnny said, "Well, you have an 8 people consciousness," to being a person who can demand $25,000, $30,000, $50,000 an hour to speak. What's the difference? It's the same person. He expanded his awareness. Yet again, as he wrote, as Neville wrote, "You shall become conscious of being or possessing a thing. You shall express or possess that which you are conscious of being." He had to see himself differently. He had to function from a different point of view. He had to be open and receptive to the creative capacity of God, as God was giving him the divine downloads. It allowed him to express and move in a different kind of way. He wrote it this way, Neville: "The law of consciousness is the only law of expression. I am the way. I am the resurrection. Consciousness is the way as well as the power which resurrects and expresses all that man will ever be conscious of being." So who do you see yourself? Remember Jesus said, you know, "Who do men say that I am?" Everybody couldn't see it. But you should be asking yourself, who do I say I am? Who do I say that I am? Am I a rich child of a rich God? Am I a healthy child of a all-powerful and whole divine life God, whatever term, I'm just spitballing. Am I a peaceful child of a peaceful God? Am I a loving child of a loving God? Who do you say that you are? Neville goes on to write, "Turn from the blindness of the uninitiated." The uninitiated man who attempts to express and possess those qualities and things which he is not conscious of being and possessing. Let's stop there. People who are trying to get something for nothing from the perspective of you don't have the consciousness and you think you can get a thing. Even if somebody gives it to you, you will lose it when you don't have the consciousness. You can meet the perfect person for you. You think, but if you have fears and doubts and beliefs that are contrary to keeping that person in your life, you'll self-sabotage. People who win the lottery, this is well known, how many people actually, when you look up 7-8 years later, they cash out and they don't have any money left because they never dealt with that type of money before. Sometimes you have athletes who have, you know, because of their athletic prowess and dedication, you know, got contracts of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. And you'd be surprised how many of them go bankrupt. You still have to have the consciousness. They can give you a thing and you can't keep it. They can show up in your space and you can't keep them in your space. Because life is consciousness. And sooner or later, you have to recognize that consciousness is like a thermostat. A thermostat sets the temperature in the room. And your consciousness sets the quote-unquote temperature of your life. What's possible for you and what's not possible. What you can see and what you can't see. What you can express and what you can't express. Not because you don't have the capacity, but you just don't have the awareness. All right? So Neville wrote, "And be as the illumined mystics who decree on the basis of this changeless law. Consciously claim yourself to be that which you seek. Appropriate the consciousness of that which you seek. And you too will know the status of the true mystic as follows. I became conscious of being it. I am still conscious of being it. And I shall continue to be conscious of being it until that which I am conscious of being is perfectly expressed. Yes, I shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass." I love this affirmation. So say, for instance, you were working on a healing or a particular money demonstration or a career ambition or whatever. You clear, you affirm it, you visualize it, and then you come back to the statement and you just start affirming and sitting with the feeling of it. I am conscious of being it. I am still conscious of being it. And I shall continue to be conscious of being it until that which I am conscious of being is perfectly expressed. That's really saying I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm going to hold this in consciousness. I'm going to hold the vision. Now, there's a point to where you have to release. But release when you know that you feel as though you have a sense of conviction and peace. Then I've let it go because I know it is done. It is done. It is done. Because you don't have to struggle in your mind when you get to the "it's done" part. When you say amen, amen really is a "it is done" and so it is. It's really saying, you know, like literally, it's complete. That's not a direct translation, but you're saying this is completed in faith. When you say amen, this is completed in faith. I accept it to be true. I accept it to be true. What I just prayed. So think about how you're decreeing the consciousness. I got to wrap up. So next week, we're going to teach the principle of truth, which is chapter 3 of this book. We're going to work with this material, and I want you just to expand your consciousness. Everybody get "Your Faith is Your Fortune" by Neville. Your Faith is Your Fortune. Sometimes the newer books are being put out under his full name, Neville Goddard. Regardless of the version you have, I have the version from Divorce and Company. Get the book, start reading it, start praying with the information, and let's see how it lands in your soul. Remember, a really smart lady said it works if you work it. So we're going to work it. God bless you, and I'll be with you next week with Truth Transforms.
What is it you really want in life? No matter what you've been through, you can still achieve it. I'm Sandra Ann Taylor, and in my Energy Activation podcast, we'll explore the science of manifestation, and I'll give you specific techniques to shift your energy in order to make your dreams a reality. I also do live energy readings, and you can be a part of the show by emailing your questions to me at sandrataylor.net. Join me on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network or wherever you get your podcasts.